words shape our reality. The more words we hear, the more it forms how we think, how we feel, how we act. Words have a way of shaping our reality. I don't know if y'all have witnessed this. I'm sure you have. Over the past several years especially, it feels like an event will happen. And we might watch the event unfolding right before our eyes. And then we want to see, well, what does the rest of the world think about this event? And so we turn to Twitter or we turn to Facebook, and there's lots of different perspectives out on it. One person's living in this reality, one person is living in this reality as they reflect on the same event that happened. Or then we go and we check news sources, and we'll check a news source over here, and they'll say, this happened during this event. And we go, oh. And then we go over here and we check a different news source about the same event, and it's reporting something drastically different. And what we recognize is that as words shape reality, we've got a group living in one reality and a different group living with a different reality. It becomes confusing. It's confusing, I think, for Americans in general, or maybe the world in general, and it's certainly confusing for us as Christians. As we search for the truth, we often wonder, what is the right reality? Where is the truth? Because if I look here, these words say this. And if I look over here, these words say this. And so what I think we can do is kind of push aside some of the words of the world and make sure we are following the true word to get to where we need to go. If you're taking notes in your Bible app this morning, you might make notes around this point. The word helps us navigate through the words of the world. As we are constantly bombarded with different words, as we stay true to the word, it helps us navigate through all these other things and all these other realities that are going on. And so I want us to return back to John 1. We just read that passage, but it's worth reading again and again and again. It is so instrumental to our understanding of who Jesus Christ is. These words from the beginning of the Gospel of John say this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what we know is that there is one Word, and that Word is God. The Word was with God in the beginning. So in the very beginning of time, in the very beginning of human history, before human history, there's this Word that exists. And then everything came into being through the Word. And without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life. And the life was the light for all people. In a world that so often feels dark and one that where the reality just doesn't seem to make sense, there's this light. And that's the Word. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. The beginning of the Gospel of John sets us up to recognize that the Word is Jesus Christ. And the Word was in the beginning, and it is light, and it is life. And then listen to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His home among us. We have seen His glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word is full of truth. As we live in a world with so many words creating other realities and a sense of wondering what is true, the Gospel of John reminds us that the Word made flesh is the truth. It's the truth that brings light, and it's the truth that brings light. This is the claim that the faith community has made for the past 2,000 years. We've tried to cling to this truth in the midst of all these other words that float around the world. And I think each generation has this struggle. Each generation has a tendency to hear words over here and kind of gravitate to them. And as we gravitate to them, what we discover is that they're words of fear. But if we listen to words of fear over and over and over again, it starts shaping our reality. And all of a sudden, we start fearing this group of people or this. Over here, we start fearing. Or we start listening to words, and the words of hate start shaping our reality. And then all of a sudden, we hate this person or this group or this thing. These words shape our reality. And then we start living hunkered down in these realities of fear and hate. And it happens on this side, and then it happens on this side. And then we start looking across the aisle and saying, they are totally wrong. They're totally bogus. Right? We see this going on now, and I think it's something we've struggled with. Each generation has its own struggle. I was at a conference the past couple of weeks, and it was talking about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he's a German theologian and pastor, and he was alive during the rise of the Nazis and Hitler, and he was in Germany at that time, and he was struggling with this. And what I realized as we were studying Bonhoeffer is there were words that were full of hate, that were full of fear, and other people were just kind of going along with it. In fact, even at that time in Germany, many Christian churches were kind of buying into some of those words. And they were letting those become their truth and their reality. And what they needed to be doing was focusing on the true word. A true word that would shape their understanding of who God is. Right? Bonhoeffer was a part of that movement, but I think we can look at all these different parts of human history, and especially in the past 2,000 years, and say, why were Christians so swayed by the words of the world when there was a true word directly in front of them that they could follow instead? So as we wrestle with the words of the world and then trying to figure out what the true word is, I think there's several points that we might keep in front of us as we move forward. Hopefully they're little tips and tricks or just some guideposts for us to make sure that we don't get caught up in words of fear or words of hate, because we all have a tendency to do that. And so as we focus on the true word, I think it helps us to follow and recognize that the true word, we find the true word in scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. Finding the true word means that we search scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. This is kind of the first part of recognizing that Jesus Christ is the true word, the word made flesh who dwells among us. And then we as Methodists use this theological framework for understanding who God is and how God's working in the world. So we lean into scripture and understand that our understanding of who God is primarily comes from the scriptures. 2 Timothy would say this about the scriptures: every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting and training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. It's a reminder that in the words of all the world floating around there, scripture keeps us grounded. But as we lean into scripture, we utilize tradition, and we look at what the church has done in the past and what the church has taught. And we look at reason, and we use our minds to integrate science and psychology and all these other fields. And we say, what is God up to today? What is God teaching us? And then we use our own experience. We're invited to recognize that as people of free will, we can make choices here or there. But as we make these experiences, they help us better understand who God is and how God's moving in the world. So I think we, as we search for truth, make sure that we start with finding truth in the scriptures. And so each week we make sure to provide different ways to study the scriptures. This week you can find our online Bible study, and each day there's some scriptures and some questions to consider. What we hope is that the more engaged we are with the scriptures, the more we can discern how God is moving us in our lives. So we start there, and then I think as we kind of focus on the truth, it's still so tempting to get pulled from one direction to another. So you might do this. You might start following the good news and check the news. Follow the good news and check the news. Because we have a tendency to let our day begin with our news feed, right? It's so easy, right, when you wake up to just, what's new in the world? But what if we start our day with the good news, making sure that we are focusing first on the good news of Jesus Christ before we go and check the news? We've been reading this scripture throughout the past several weeks, so I want us to read Psalm 19:14 together. You've got these cards. Some of you have them, we gave them out the very first week of our series, and there's cards in the back too if you want to take them and place them different places. But what we figured is if we can read these cards, read these words from the scriptures over and over again, it starts transforming our hearts and our minds and our actions. So if we're going to follow the good news and check the news, we might be informed by this verse, Psalm 19:14. Would you all read it with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So if we're going to follow the good news and check the news, that means that we start by making sure that we're following in step with the Holy Spirit, checking in with God throughout the day, right? And then coming to check the news. The news is important. We as Methodists have always cared about what is going on in the world. So this isn't an invitation to just bury our heads in the sand, but it's instead to say, what is God calling me to do? And then we go and check the news and see what pain, what suffering, what is going on in the world that is breaking God's heart. And then we're able to look at those situations next to the true word and then say, all right, this is how we move. This is how we mobilize. This is what we do next. And so as we do that, we also need to recognize this, that we've got to guard ourselves against false or hateful words. Right? This is a big thing, I think, for each of us as we say, we want to follow the true word, but then these words over here or these words over here start being filled with hate and they start pulling us away. So we've got to guard ourselves against false or hateful words. Because the truth is, the internet can tell us whatever we want to hear. Right? Whatever we think about the world, whatever reality we are living, we can find news or web pages that affirm what we believe. I don't know if y'all have followed this, but there is a surge. I don't know if it's a massive surge, but it's a surge upward in people who believe that the earth is totally flat. Like, I don't know if you've seen this, but they've got conventions that go on, and through the internet, they can find people who believe like them. And so they can go to websites that prove that the world is flat, right? We can prove whatever we want to using the internet. But listen to this scripture. I want us to read it again. And this is, we've been reading this throughout our time together. But would y'all read it with me from Ephesians? We've been reading this passage week to week. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Right? Don't let evil talk come out of our mouths. That means that we've got to make sure we don't let false talk come out of our mouths. And I'm sure none of us are going around saying, yes, the world is flat. But the reality is that sometimes we read something quickly on the internet and we go, oh, that's true. That affirms what I've been saying all this time. And then we'll quickly share it, right? But if it's false, it's a lie, right? One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. Every time we share something that might be false, we're lying to ourselves, to the world around us. And so I want us to just kind of take a step back and say, is this source true? Is it verifiable? Is the author accurate? Is there an editorial review board? Who's publishing that? It just helps us to take a step back and say, is this true? Because you don't want to be the flat earth guy. Because for each of us, we can get on our phones this afternoon and say, oh yeah, this proves that I'm right. And we go show somebody, right? But just know that next time you do that and pull out your phone and say, see, it proves it. There's somebody else going to their friend and saying, see, I can prove that the world is flat, right? We don't want to be lumped in that same category of trying to prove untruths to other people. So let's guard ourselves against words that are false and guard ourselves against hateful words. In our world, there are so many words that are often filled with hate that belittle other people. And so we need to make sure we're tuning ourselves out from those sources. Sometimes media and news sources can be filled with hate. Hateful rhetoric that makes us fear, that makes us cast doubt on other people. Sometimes it's following certain people that creates a sense of fear and hate in us. We've got to make sure we guard ourselves against that. And if there are sources in our life that are just making us look down on other people or hate other people, we need to remove those sources because it pulls us further and further away from the truth, the light, the life that we're called to follow. So as we wrestle with this, my prayer is that we might move away from the words of the world and instead land on following the true word. Because the true word has existed from the beginning of time. The true word releases the captives, brings recovery of sight to the blind, and it lets the oppressed go free. The true word heals the leper and the sick. The true word doesn't exclude, but includes the poor, the outcast, the sinner, the marginalized, the oppressed. The true word doesn't condemn, but it came to save the world. The true word offers forgiveness of sin, new life, and healing. The true word doesn't offer dead ends, but offers new beginnings. The word was mocked, was beaten, was abused. But instead of responding with hateful words or hateful actions, the true word that became flesh and dwelled among us leaned into humanity. It leaned into death and suffering so that the true word could live into the resurrection and so that the true word could offer light in places that were dark. The true word comes to offer life in places where there is death. The true word was in the beginning, and the true word guides us each and every day. Let's pray. Oh God, we pray that we might follow your true word, that we might follow in step with Jesus Christ. And there are times that the words of the world seem to pull us from one direction to another. God, we have a tendency to follow words of hate or follow words of fear. God, bring us back to your true word that will guide us, that will lead us, that transformed the world. We pray all this in the name of the true word, Jesus Christ. Amen.